web page or an anti-Mormon pamphlet. Why? Because it sort of shows the methodology of those who are involved in putting together this kind of information. Now, some of them I know are genuine in what they do. They sincerely think that Latter-day Saints are part of a church that just is not true. Others have more ulterior motives. They like to sell books. They just like to wreak havoc and cause problems. But whatever the underlying motive, the methodology is the same. And if you see the methodology, or understand it at least, then you know how to think through it and how to get sources, good, legitimate sources, so that you can find out if the claim made against the church or its leaders or its doctrine is true or not. And that's all I'm asking for today, is for people who have that kind of information that makes them question their faith. Keep an open mind. Take a look at both sides and see what you really come up with. So here's the methodology that after 30 plus years of looking at anti-Mormon literature, I see as common elements in all of it. Here's what happens. Take an event from church history or the life of Joseph Smith or another church leader or perhaps one of their statements or some church doctrine. Next, either distort it or take it out of context or claim it means something that it really doesn't. In essence, you create a straw man by doing all of that. And then you take pot shots at the straw man and you use a different yardstick, whatever you want to do, a yardstick that you assume is true and claim is different from the church's or its leaders or its doctrine's position. And then you just simply draw the conclusion that the LDS Church or Joseph Smith or church leaders or its doctrine are unbiblical or illogical or scandalous or contradict science, or they're just flat out logically wrong. And this is the methodology. It's very, very simple. And for some, it's quite effective. You can pick any event in church history and sort of walk through these elements. You take the element, then you distort it or take it out of context, say it means something that it doesn't, use a different yardstick or comparison that you say is true, and then draw your conclusion that the church is wrong. Let's pick something that's obvious to most Latter-day Saints. That would be the First Vision. If you're going to use this anti-Mormon methodology, here's what you would do. You would say, well, Joseph Smith claimed that he had a first vision. But if you read the different accounts, there are things that are contradictory in them. And not only that, the first vision can't be true because no one has ever seen God. And not only that, no one could possibly see God or Jesus after the time of Jesus and the apostles. Hence, Joseph Smith could not have really had a true vision. Perhaps he was deceived by the devil. Therefore, Joseph Smith is a false prophet and the LDS Church is not true. There you go. I mean, you can pick that for anything you want. Book of Mormon might be another one. Well, the Mormon Church has this Book of Mormon. But we all know that only books inspired by God are real scripture. And we also know that there is no new scripture since the Bible, and that the Bible is the complete and true Word of God. Therefore, the Book of Mormon could not possibly be true, and the LDS Church is simply wrong, and the Book of Mormon is false. And you could pick it for any event in church history. You just take the event, you say what it is or distort it, you use a different yardstick. If you take the first vision, there is nothing in the Bible that says that no one will ever see God after the time of Jesus or the apostles. And there are certainly times in the Bible when people saw God many, many times, not just Jesus, but God. And so you create this straw man or use as a comparison something that is claimed to be true that really isn't. And then by building up this straw man, you say that the LDS Church is not true. So for the other one, the Book of Mormon, the Bible nowhere says there won't be any other scriptures. As a matter of fact, there are many places where it implies and flat out says that there will be more scriptures. Amos 3:7, for example, and also the prophecies, the two prophets in the future, plus the early church, the early Christian church, had many, many scriptures, and they were continuing to write additional scriptures. Many of them did not make it into the canon. Some of them did. There are some books that are in the canon now that early Christians did not accept as scripture, and vice versa. It took 300 years for canons even remotely similar to the ones that we have, the 66 books in the Bible, to be considered scripture. And there are many other books that were considered canonical that are no longer there now. The Book of Enoch, the Shepherd of Hermas, many others. The Book of Revelation, for many, was not considered to be scripture, but it is now. If you are a Protestant, you don't believe in the apocryphal books, but they are certainly books that are part of the canon for Catholics, and they are absolutely marvelous books. There are some great books in there. Esdras, Judith, Tobit, they're fabulous books, and some of those say in their pages, "Thus saith the Lord," and things of that nature, far more than any of the current books in the Bible do. And so saying that only the 66 books of the Protestant Bible are the canon of Scripture is to say something that the Bible itself does not claim and history does not justify. The main reason that those books are not in the Bible is simply because it was cheaper to publish them after the invention of the printing press, and so they were omitted. That's the long and the short of it. So the reasons for these straw men in anti-Mormon literature are that people can use them to try to attack the LDS Church. When we come back, more about how anti-Mormons go against our faith and why. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. Welcome back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. If you're just joining us today, we're talking about anti-Mormon literature. Why people write it, why people put it on the internet, and how to think through it and how to respond. If you have any questions or comments about this or any other program or religious topic, send me an email. Happy to respond. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to reply. What prompted this program today is that I received some emails and a phone call talking about youth, particularly in the LDS Church, who had fallen away or become inactive because they saw anti-Mormon literature on the internet. This is a huge problem today, and it is one that especially affects youth because they are on the internet all the time, and they do not know as well how to think through these issues or how to find good, responsive information. So before we go any further with this, let me give you some sources, some great sources that will help you respond to any kind of anti-Mormon literature that you may find. First one is FAIR, the organization FAIR. They defend the LDS faith. They've been around for a long time. I'm familiar with them. For a while, I was on their board of scholars who respond to questions. They perform a wonderful service by allowing people to send them emails. It doesn't matter if you're a member of the church or somebody who's hostile to the church, somebody who questions the church, somebody who's been a faithful member for years but just wants to know the answer to a question. And it also doesn't matter where in the world you live. FAIR routinely gets questions from stake presidents, branch presidents, people investigating the church, ordinary members of the church, and those who are not members but just really don't believe it and yet still have a question about it. All kinds of people. And what you do is you can check out their website, and if you don't find an answer already there, send them an email and they will respond to it. Their website is fairlds.org. fairlds.org. It's a great website. It was put together a long time ago by a group of Mormon scholars, and they posted answers to questions about the church that were put together. And what happened is ultimately the responses to these questions that kept creeping up over and over and over again became the body of literature that's on FAIR's website. And it's a fabulous website. It's a wonderful website. Another place that you can go to for answers is the Interpreter Foundation online at MormonInterpreter.org. MormonInterpreter.org. If you have a question about LDS theology or doctrine, if somebody has seen anti-Mormon literature or a website and have questions, because that sends the people at FAIR a question, they'll be happy to respond to it. Both of these groups have scholars who have been looking at these questions for years. And I can give you one of my own personal examples with this. I have seen for decades that the questions that are brought up about the church, or the accusations that are brought up about the church, essentially come up over and over and over and over again. And I rarely hear one that I haven't heard many, many times before. And the responses to them have been put together a long, long, long time ago. I was involved almost 20 years ago now in putting together a project that responded to every single question that had ever been raised against the LDS Church, its history, its leaders. And there were several thousand questions, some of them fairly innocuous. Some of them took a bit more response because they were seriously thought through, or were at least of a more serious nature. But all of them were responded to, and every single one of them had a response. And so there are no accusations out there against the church that cannot be responded to. There are places to find the answer. Again, take a look at fairlds.org. Take a look at mormoninterpreter.com. They are great sources. If you can't find anything there, send me an email as well. Be happy to respond to whatever you have seen. And so those of you who are parents out there, hey, have a chat with your kids. Find out if they've seen anything like that at the internet. Tell them that if they have, here's some websites. You can take a look at them. And they're done in a very, very positive way. So how do you respond to some of this kind of talk if you see it? Well, take a look at the websites, as I've said, but ultimately you're going to have to think it through yourself. And what you need to do is ask yourself a question. Are people who are part of an organization itself the better place to find answers about that organization, or would somebody who's accusatory and who's got an axe to grind against that organization be a better place? If you found somebody who was overtly against the Catholic Church, who just hated the Catholic Church, if you wanted to know about Catholicism, would you go to them, or would you go to the Catholic Church? Would you find somebody who was a faithful member of the Catholic Church? I, for one, would find the faithful member of the Catholic Church to talk to. Why? Because they're believing members. They understand what the church is about. And people who are really, truly against it tend to have some pretty serious biases. If you wanted to know about the Holocaust, would you talk to someone who was Jewish, or would you talk to a Nazi? It's a pretty easy one for me. I would talk to some knowledgeable Jewish person. I would not want to talk to a Nazi about the Holocaust. I've even had a few debates with Holocaust deniers, and they are irrational. It's not the right place for the information. They have a preconceived notion and tend not to look at the facts. You could say the same thing about the LDS Church. If you want to know about it, ask a good, faithful member. Don't ask somebody with an axe to grind. And if you have questions about it, check them out. Most of the questions that are raised, again, are distortions or comments that are personal comments of church leaders from long ago, taken out of context, or maybe even just their own personal opinion, but not church doctrine. They could also be items from church history that have been isolated or put in a different context that makes them really sound bad. Whereas if you have a good explanation, then they're more readily understandable. Every church has things in its history that they wish were not there. The LDS Church would certainly be happy if the Mountain Meadows Massacre never occurred. The Catholic Church would be happy if there was never an Inquisition. But parts of history do not make a church wrong or its doctrine improper. So if you have anti-Mormon literature, find the answer, reason through it. Join me next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.